as we close out our Easter season, we come to the one Sunday where we look at a theological concept, and a nice, easy, you know, light one called the Trinity. So we are in Trinity Sunday, which always is the end of the season. And while it's a concept that's not explicitly stated in Scripture, throughout the history of Christianity, and actually from the very beginning of the church, this concept of God being three yet one has been foundational to the faith. But of course, because we tend to be finite, kind of tangible, concrete thinkers, when we start to try to explain or understand this concept that in God's kind of economy, one plus one plus one equals one, we start to kind of get frustrated, and often it causes our brain to hurt when we try to explain it. And over the centuries, there have been many analogies, and I'm sure you've probably heard many of them, which have tried to help us grasp this idea of the Trinity and unity, this three in one. But the problem that it comes when we use analogies to explain, especially the Holy Trinity, we always end up confessing kind of some ancient heresy within the church. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar, there's a website called Lutheran Satires. And so in light of Trinity Sunday, I wanted to share with you a video that they have that's addressing these bad analogies. And in it, they have Donal and Conall, two gentlemen on the countryside of Ireland with very bad Irish accents. So I figured I could probably do it that way. And they meet up with St. Patrick. And now St. Patrick is actually, it's the icon of St. Patrick with his mouth moving. So if you actually go to YouTube, it's a pretty funny video. And they meet up with him and they want to know more about this Trinity. And they say to him, "Okay, Patrick, tell us a bit more about this Trinity thing." "Yeah, Patrick, tell us. But remember, we're simple people without your fancy educations and books and learning and such. We're hearing this all for the first time, so try to keep it simple, will you, Patrick?" "Yeah, real simple, Patrick." So Patrick answers, he goes, "Sure. There are three persons of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet there is only one God." They pan back to the two gentlemen who just kind of stare back at Patrick. "Don't get what you're saying there, Patrick. Not picking up what you're laying down there, Patrick. Could you use an analogy, Patrick?" "Okay, sure. The Trinity is like water. You know how you could find water in three forms: liquid, ice, and vapor." "That's modalism, Patrick." And Patrick's like, "What?" He's like, "Modalism, an ancient heresy confessed by teachers such as Noetus and Sibelius, which espouses that God is not three distinct persons, but that he merely reveals himself in three different forms. This heresy was clearly condemned in Canon 1 of the First Council of Constantinople in 381 AD, and those who confess it cannot rightly be considered a part of the Church Catholic. Come on, Patrick." "Okay, the Trinity is like the sun in the sky, where you have the star and the light and the heat." "Oh, Patrick. Come on, Patrick. That's Arianism, Patrick." "Arianism?" "Yes, Arianism, Patrick. A theology which states that Christ and the Holy Spirit are creations of the Father and not one in nature with him, exactly how heat and light are not the star itself, but are merely creations of the star." "That's a bad analogy, Patrick. You're the worst, Patrick." "Oh, all right, sorry. The Trinity is like this three-leaf clover." "I'm going to stop you right there, Patrick." "Yeah, hold your horses, Patrick. You're about to confess partialism."
"Partialism?"
"Yes, partialism, a heresy which asserts that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are not distinct persons of the Godhead, but are different parts of God, each composing one-third of the divine."
"Well, who confesses the heresy of partialism?"
"Well, the first season of the cartoon program Voltron, where five robot lion cars merged together to form one giant robot samurai, obviously." He's like, "Well, I've never heard of Voltron." Of course you haven't. It's not going to exist for another 1,500 years now, Patrick. Yeah, get with the program, Patrick. All right, I'll try again. The Trinity is like how the same man can be a husband and a father and an employer. Modalism again, Patrick. All right, then it's like three layers of an apple. Partialism revisited. Fine. The Trinity is a mystery which cannot be comprehended by human reason, but is understood only through faith, and is best confessed in the words of the Athanasian Creed, which states, "We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance, that we are compelled by the Christian truth to confess that each distinct person is God and Lord, and that the deity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-equal in majesty." Why did you just say that at the first, Patrick? Yeah, quit beating around the bush, Patrick. Obviously, that's humorous. And those of you that might be unfamiliar with the Athanasian Creed, you can actually find it in the beginning of the historical documents in the back of the prayer book. We usually don't say it during a service because it's about 3 pages long, because Athanasius really wanted us to understand this concept of the Trinity. But it is a mystery. We don't like mystery, do we? We want to be able to fully understand something. But we have to remember that God is infinite and we are finite. And that there are times that we just have to embrace God as he has revealed himself to us. But the emphasis on the Trinity is important because we need to understand it and believe it to the extent that we can in order to be Christians. See, because for to receive the grace and love of God, to be at peace with God, as Paul tells us in the Roman passage this morning, all that is offered to us because of what Jesus achieved through his death, resurrection, and ascension. If he was merely a man, or he was a created being, or only part of God, he would not have been able to achieve it fully for us. And it is only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we're told that we have, when we believe, can we understand and participate in the glory of God. Again, it's through the Spirit's divinity, his full Godhead, that we are able to enjoy God's love and presence in our lives, to be able to make it through this world, to be able to endure in that suffering that is inevitable at times. There's a Jewish folktale about two brothers. It said all their lives, the two brothers had lived in the city behind a great stone wall and had never seen a meadow. But one day, they decided that they were going to go and visit the country. As they were walking along the road, they saw a farmer out in the field plowing. And they watched him and were incredibly puzzled by what he was doing. They said, what on earth is he doing that for? He turns up the earth and leaves deep furrows in it? Why should someone take a smooth piece of land covered with nice, lush, green grass and dig it up and destroy it? Later, they watched him sow grain of wheat along the furrows. "That man must be crazy," they exclaimed. "He takes good wheat and just throws it into the dirt?" "I don't like the country," said one in disgust. "Only crazy people live here. I'm going back to the city." And so he did. His brother remained, and he saw a change take place several weeks later. The plowed field began to sprout tender green shoots, even more beautiful and fresher than before. Well, this discovery just excited him, so he wrote to his brother in the city to come at once and see for himself the wonderful change that had taken place. His brother came and was delighted with what he saw. As time passed, they watched the sproutings grow into full heads of grain. Now they both understood the purpose of the farmer's work. When the wheat became ripe, the farmer brought his scythe and began to cut it on down. At this, the impatient one of the two brothers exclaimed, "This farmer is truly crazy. He's insane how hard he worked all these months to produce this lovely wheat, and now with his own hands he's cutting it down? I'm disgusted with such an idiot. I'm heading back to the city." His brother, the patient one, held his peace and remained in the country. He watched the farmer gather the wheat into his granary, He saw him skillfully separate the grain from the chaff. He was filled with wonder when he found that the farmer had harvested 100-fold of the seed that he had sowed. Then he understood that there had been logic in everything the farmer had done. The moral of the story is mortals see only the beginning of any of God's works. Therefore, they cannot understand the nature and end of creation. And one commentator through this story points out with our topic this morning, he says, the day may come when we understand the triune God fully, as we understand the life cycle of wheat. But for now, such understanding seems too much for us to bear. The Spirit, Jesus said, would not teach the disciples of his own teachings, but that he would teach only what he hears from the Father through the Son. This points to the interdependence of the persons in the Trinity. There's a Greek word, parakoresis, which literally means dancing around or dancing in a circle, which I think better describes the nature of the Godhead. An interconnectedness where each is distinct and yet connected to the other. They're pouring out grace and love to the other in an eternal dance. And the amazing thing is that we've been personally invited to join that dance, to dance with the Godhead. I pray that we would allow the Spirit of God to guide us in all the truth that Jesus has revealed, so that we would know the Father and that we could dance daily with our triune God. Amen.